This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
So, Parshas Noach. Again, for those who are listening online, please email me at jdogolka@gmail.com. There is a minhag when one begins Parshas Noach straight after the wonderful Yom Tovim. This time last week was Motzei Simchas Torah, amazingly enough. And there is a minhag to connect to the end of the Torah with the beginning of the Torah. So the last time we met, virtually of course, was on the shir before Erev Yom Kippur. And I would like to connect an idea that I mentioned in that shir with this week's parsha shir, at least the opening offering, because I think it's a very good connection, an important connection, and it gives a very powerful message, which is born out of a medrash in this week's parsha. Now, what did I mention? In case you've forgotten, since Erev Yom Kippur, seems like 100 years ago. But what did I say on Erev Yom Kippur? I mentioned a book called Atomic Habits by a fellow called James Clear, who was recommended as Elul reading. A very, very interesting book. And it was about small habits making major changes, long-term changes, remarkable changes to a person's life. And one of the points he makes in this book is that it's more likely to succeed in changing a person's habits, not by tinkering with the actual actions, but rather by focusing on the identity of a person. For example, he says, a person who's trying to quit smoking and someone tempts him and offers him a cigarette, one of two responses. Either he'll say, no, thank you, I'm not a smoker. Or he can turn around and say, I'm trying to quit. Don't want a cigarette, I'm trying to quit. Statistically, research shows that the former response, saying I'm not a smoker, is more likely to succeed. Why? Because once he defines himself as a non-smoker, then his actions will follow. Non-smokers don't smoke. But if he says, no, thank you, I'm trying to quit, then that suggests that he's still a smoker, and sometimes he will succumb, and sometimes he won't succumb. Now, the idea is that true behavior true behavior change is identity change. And we quoted the Vata of Rav Hudna, that Rav Hudna famously says that tshuva is nishter taich, that besser veren, tshuva is der taich anderish veren. It means that tshuva doesn't mean to be better, tshuva means to be different. And because behavior is a reflection of your identity, change identity and the behavior will follow. And we mentioned this in the Erev Yom Kippur share because, of course, that is the message of Maftan Yonah, when Yonah Hanavi famously says, Ivri Anochi, when he's woken by the sailors when there's a terrible storm, and they wake up Yonah Hanavi, they ask him a series of questions, and his simple response is, Ivri Anochi, I am a Jew. I fear God, because that is the answer to most of life's challenging problems, to know what to do. The answer is really Ivri Anochi. Once you identify that, I am a Jew, I'm a God-fearing Jew, everything else generally falls into place. Now, that concept, that idea of who we really are, of our true identity, I think is born out in this week's parasha. How so? Well, the pasuk begins in the parasha, Eile toldos Noach. These are the generations of Noach. Noach ish tzadik, tomim hoye b'dayreis ove selekim is halech Noach. How is Noach described? It is described in very glorious terms as a tzadik, an unusual term, not used that often in the Torah. And yet, at the end of the parasha, the pasuk says, "Vayochel Noach ishu adama vayita kerem," which means that Noach began, and Rashi says, as we'll see later, it means he debased himself, but he began to plant vayita kerem. But he's described as an ishu adama. What an interesting contrast. He begins the parasha as Noach ish tzadik, and he ends the parasha as Ishwa Doma. Now the contrast is, of course, to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu begins life in Shmos Perek Beis, when we, you know, very early on, when we're introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu, it says when he went to the well, he escaped from Paro, and he went to the well where he saw the daughters of Yisrael. The pasuk says that he saved them, but Tomar not Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu. They reported back to their father Yisrael that this Egyptian saved us, Miat Haroim. The gam dolo dolo lono vayashkes atzon, and he gave the tzoyin to drink, etc., etc. But how is Moshe Rabbeinu described? As an ish mitzri. And yet, at the very end of the Torah, when Moshe Rabbeinu fulfills his mission in this world, The pasuk says, "V'zois habracha sheberach Moshe Ishvelekim es bnei Yisrael." Moshe Rabbeinu is described as an Ishvelekim. He begins life as an Ish Mitzri, and he ends life as an Ishvelekim. Interesting, very very interesting. Says the Medrash on this point of the contrast of Noach and Moshe, it summarizes it in one sentence. Says the Medrash, this is the third, this is the penultimate box on the first page. Choviv Moshe Minoach. Moshe Rabbeinu was more precious than Noach. Noach, Mishenikra Ish Sadik, Nikra Ish Hadomo. He started life as an Ish Sadik, and in the end of this week's parasha, he becomes an Ish Hadomo. Avol Moshe Mishenikra Ish Mitzri, Nikra Ish Relikim. But the trajectory of Moshe Rabbeinu was from Ish Mitzri to become an Ish Relikim. That's the Medrash. Interestingly, there seems to be a problem with this Medrash. Because if we're saying that Noach began life as an Ish Hadomo, he began life as an Ish Sadik and ended life as an Ish Hadomo, that would suggest that he began to become preoccupied with the field and with his agriculture and with his work after the Mabul. But we know that's not true. Noach was involved in agriculture before the Mabul. How so? Well, it's a pasuk and a Rashi in last week's parasha. Take a look at the last box on page one. When Noach was born at the end of Parshas Bereishis, the pasuk says, "Vayikra es Shemoi Noach." He was called Noach. Why was he called Noach? Leimer ze yinachamenu mima'aseinu meyitzon yadenu. But Noach, as Rashi explains, is going to make our life much easier. How so? Says Rashi. Previous to Noach's emergence into this world, there was no kalim, no vessels of plowing and of agriculture. For who heichin lohem? Noach came along and he invented the plow. Previously, the land was, it grew all different types of thorns and thistles. Because of the klala to Adam Rishon, but we made Noach Nocha, and in the times of Noach, it became much easier. Noach will give us rest; he'll make our lives easier. Doesn't mean he will comfort us, as Rashi explains in the continuation of that Rashi. Otherwise, his name would be Menachem, not Noach. Noach means that he will give us rest. How so? Because he will make life a lot easier. In the days prior to Noach, planting and agriculture was much more difficult. But he made a technological revolution by introducing agricultural methodology that would use machinery and plowing, etc., etc. I remember one time being in Poland, and when you're on Poland, with the various school trips, you spend a lot of time on the coach. And one time I remember looking out of the window, and it was a bleak Polish field. And I saw a Polish farmer, even though it was, I forget how many years ago this was, a few years ago, and he was plowing the good old-fashioned way with a horse and with a plow. It wasn't using any machinery. In other words, not much change since Noach's days. Noach introduced this. That was his innovation. Prior to Noach, it was all very difficult. But the point is, you see that Noach was an Ish Hadomo even before the Mabul. So what does the Medrash mean? That Noach started off life as an Ish Sadik and he ended off life as an Ish Hadomo? It seems to be a criticism of him, especially when contrasted to Moshe. So the answer is this, that after the Mabul, agriculture became the primary focus of Noach's life. Previously, he was a tzaddik who just happened to be involved in agriculture. And that really bears out the story that I said in the Shir before Yom Kippur, when the man, the lawyer from New York, went to the Briskerov. He was in Eretz Yisrael, and he went to the great Briskerov. And the Briskerov said, "Shalom Aleichem, who are you?" And he said, "My name is so-and-so and I'm a lawyer from New York." "And who are you?" So maybe the Briskerov had misheard him. "My name is so-and-so and I'm a lawyer from New York." "And who are you?" This is the great Briskerov. The Briskerov interrupted this man's thoughts and said, "I heard exactly what you said. But don't describe yourself by your occupation. That's just the means through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you parnasa. Don't define yourself by your occupation." After the Mabul, agriculture became the primary focus of Noach's life and is therefore described as an Ish Hadomo. Previously, before the Mabul, he was Noach Ish Sadik. who happened to be evolved, who lived and worked in agriculture. That's the idea. So therefore, that I think is the link between the end of the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu, and the beginning of the Torah, and it connects certainly the shear of Erev Yom Kippur and the shear of Parshas Noach. Let's move on. Paragraph 2 on the top of the next page. So the pasuk says, "Eile toldos Noach, Noach ish sadik tomim hay b'derosav Noach es elokim ishalich Noach." The Medrash points out that in that pasuk, the word Noach appears three times. Eile toldos Noach, Noach ish sadik es elokim ishalich Noach. Why three times? What's this alluding to? So the Medrash says something very, very interesting. Eile toldos Noach, second box in paragraph 2. Gimel pa'amim b'pasuk lomar. Why does it say Noach three times in this pasuk? Ze echod mishleisha shero gimel elomis. Because Noach is one of three people, there were two others, who saw three worlds in their own lifetime. When it says Noach three times in the pasuk, it's alluding to the fact that Noach witnessed three worlds in his own lifetime. We'll see what that means. Noach v'doniel v'iyoiv. The other two were Doniel and Iyov. Says the Medrash. Noach ra'a olam b'yishuvoy. He saw the world, he lived and experienced the world prior to the Mabul. V'ra'ahu b'churbanoy. He saw the destruction of the world. V'choza v'ra'ahu b'yishuvoy. And then he saw the rebuilding of the world. He saw the world post-Mabul. So he saw three worlds, prior to the Mabul, during the Mabul, and post the Mabul. And so to Doniel. Doniel ra'a binyan b'yis rishon. Says the Medrash that Doniel saw the first Beis Hamikdash, the Ra'ahu Chorav, and then he saw the destruction of Beis Rishon, the Ra'ahu Bonui, and then he saw the rebuilding of the Binyan Beis Sheni with the second Beis Hamikdash. Iyov, he also saw three worlds. Ra'ah Binyan Beis, so he saw the life he had before the tragedies began, the Churbono, and he saw the destruction of his life, the Chaz of Ra'ah Yeshuva, and then he saw the rebuilding of his life. So, that's what the Medrash says. It says Noach three times in that opening pasuk to allude to the fact that Noach witnessed, as it were, three worlds in his lifetime, so to Doniel, so to Iyov. I once heard a very interesting observation from Dan Ehrentrop, Shlita Shehavar Refuah Shleima. He asked the following question. I can understand how the Medrash can describe Noach and Doniel, that they saw three worlds. That they saw Noach saw the world before the Mabul, during the Mabul, after the Mabul, that it was indeed three worlds. And so too with Doniel, the world of Beis Rishon, pre-Churban, the world during the Churban, and the world post-Churban. I can understand how the Medrash describes that as an Olam, as a world, because the whole world had indeed changed. But when it comes to Iyov, what does the Medrash mean by saying that Iyov Ra'ah, he saw three worlds? What were the worlds? It was his own personal life situation. It was nothing had changed in the world. So asked Dayan Ehrentrop. The Dayan answers as follows. The Maharam makes the following point. There is an expression of Makshim Ha'olam, the world asks. In Yiddish you say the Welt asks. You go to the Beis Medrash and you hear a Welt Kasha. It's a fabulous world-class question. That the whole Bnei Yeshiva, the whole world, are asking this question. Who is the world? When we say Makshim Ha'olam, says the Maram, who are we referring to? The whole world asks the question. Does it mean the United Nations? Does it mean Parliament? What does it mean? The answer, of course, is it means the Olam HaTorah. And the idea is that the Olam HaTorah is Nitzchias. Olam, it comes from the word the La'olam, forever, because it impacts eternally. Says the Dayan that what it means with Iyov is that his actions, there was an eternal impact to them. We're still learning Sefer Iyov, we're talking about Iyov. So therefore, when it describes Iyov seeing three worlds prior to his personal tragedies, during and after, it's not something just specific to him, because whenever there is an enduring eternal impact, then it's called and described as Olam. Olam means eternal impact. And that is the explanation of this Medrash. Noach, Doniel, and Iyov saw three worlds because it did indeed have this enduring eternal impact. Let's close with a third, a final idea, which we'll divide in two halves. A very beautiful idea. This I saw, and I'm proud to say I saw this in the writings of my brother-in-law, Robert Jeremy Finn, who's now brought out a fabulous sefer in the heart of the parsha, beautiful sefer. And he mentions the following idea. After the mabul finishes, the pasuk says that Noach came out of the teva, vayochel Noach ish ha'adama, and Noach, the master of the earth, and ish ha'adama came out, and he began, vayitaker, he planted a vineyard, vayesht min hayayin, vayishkar, and he drank from the wine which he himself grew, vayishkar, and he became drunk. And that begins that whole story episode with Canaan and Chom, etc., etc. Says Rashi, what's the lashon of vayochel? Sometimes it could mean he began. Says Rashi, no. Also atzmo chulin. He made himself, he debased himself. Shehoyel olasuk tchila benetiyah acheres. He should have involved himself with a different type of planting, i.e., why did he have to choose to plant a vine and produce wine? He should have been involved in other planting, in wheat and barley to make bread, etc., etc. Adkan the Rashi. The difficulty is, asked with Simcha Wasserman, what exactly is the problem with planting a vine? And second question, why did indeed Noach choose a vine to plant first? What's the message? So Reb Simcha Wasserman wanted to say the following, that Noach wanted to reminisce and remember the good old days. We have a phrase, please God, on Friday night, we'll all stand up and make Kiddush. What are we doing? Why are we making Kiddush? There's an expression, Zochreyu alayayin. You remember the past through wine. We stand up and we mekadesh the fact, we testify to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. We can just do it by declaring it. There's a famous, when Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, we can't, of course, make Kiddush and drink wine, but there's still an inner to mekadesh Shabbos. You should have in mind, we've been mekadesh Shabbos. But Chazal say, take a glass of wine, Zochreyu alayayin. You remember it by way of wine, with wine. So Yayin is reminiscing about the past. Says Rabbi Simcha Wasserman, the idea is that Noach was scared to move into this future world. He wanted to be nostalgic, to remember the past. Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, Zichron Racha, would say that time travels in one direction only, and our duty whilst remembering the past is to build for the future. And therefore, Noach is considered guilty of this point, that he was criticized for wanting to sort of look backwards and not look forwards. And that is alluded to by his planting of the vine, because Zochreyu alayayin, wine from the vine, is always past back looking. That's one idea. There is a second idea that Rabbi Jeremy Finn quotes in the name of Rabbi Twersky. He told me that he heard it from Rabbi Twersky himself, that a different idea, but also a very beautiful idea. Noach's mistake was assuming the world was exactly the same as before the flood. But there's been a total metamorphosis. There's a total change in the world pre the Mabul and post the Mabul. He became drunk because he failed to realize, says Rabbi Twersky, that everything was different. Even the potency of the grapes was different. Prior to the Mabul, he could make the grapes, make some wine, drink, and not get drunk. But it's a different world now. The potency of the grapes, even that had changed. And Noach, when he got drunk, the fact that he got drunk was an expression of the fact that he was unable to recognize this change in this new existence. That was Noach's criticism. That's why Yochel, Noach, Ishva Domo, he debased himself because he was unable or was unwilling to recognize this new world. Rabbi Fran tells a story of Rav Motel Katz. The Motel Katz was one of the great Rosh Hashivas of the 20th century. He was the Rosh Hashiva in Telz before the war. Nebuch, he managed to survive, but he Nebuch lost his wife and children. 10 children were taken. In fact, my friend says that one time, I forget who it was, one of his Talmidim maybe came into his office, or Motel Katz's office, one time a few years after the war, and he saw his Rosh Hashiva crying. He asked the Rosh Hashiva what the matter is, and he said, sad through his tears, he said, you know, I'm sitting here thinking about my wife and my 10 children who didn't survive the war. I cannot remember the names of my 10 children. It's just escaped me. Can you imagine the pain? And Reb Motel Katz, who knew what Telz was like before the war, my Zayda learned to tell, my mother's father learned to tell before the war. And from reading about it, tells before the war was an unbelievable Mokum Torah. It was the Ahavas HaTorah was palpable on the streets. They used to joke that in Tells you could get shikha of Ahavas HaTorah just by walking in the streets. And the Remotel Katz, who was the Rosh Hashiva there in Tells, when he rebuilt Tells in Cleveland after the war, it was a different world. And my friend tells the following shocking story. He said if he wouldn't have heard it directly from people, you know, from a first-hand source, he wouldn't have believed it. But apparently in the 1950s, the yeshiva bachrim went to Remotel Katz with a strange request. You would not have this request nowadays. The request was they want to make Maariv for one night only tonight. They said, can we make Maariv a little earlier? Why do you want to do that? Said the Rosh Hashiva Remotel Katz. So the boys explained that tonight on the radio, they want to listen to a boxing match. There's a big boxing match, and they would like to listen to this boxing match. And Maariv is late. It's going to be a clash. They won't be able to do it. We make Maariv earlier so they can go listen to this boxing match. Now, can you imagine? You are a Remotel Katz. You knew what Tells was like before the war. You replant it, and you've got some yeshiva, some bachrim who ask you to reschedule Maariv because they want to listen to a boxing match on the radio. Yet, Remotel Katz felt he agreed to the demands, to the request. The Gemara says in Yevamos, Kashem Shem Mitzvah Adon Lo Madova Hanishma, just like there is a mitzvah to say something that will be heard, Kach Mitzvah Al Adon Sheloi Lo Maradova She'ina Nishma. So too, there is a mitzvah not to say something that won't be heard. Sometimes, good chinuch and good parenting is to pretend to be blind or to choose your moment. Baruch Hashem, I'm no doubt that Tells now is a different world. But that's the idea that Remotel Katz was able to recognize it's a new existence. This is what this particular dar needs. And we have to address that and engage them in that way. And therefore, says Reb Twersky, Noach's mistake was in assuming that the world pre the Mabul was the same world. And that reflected an inability to recognize this new existence. Let's just summarize the three ideas that we've mentioned tonight. The first idea was this minhag in Klal Yisrael to connect the end of the Torah with the beginning of the Torah. And really the idea is that identity change is the most effective tool of growth and of proper behavior change. Because behavior is just a reflection of a person's identity. And therefore, like we said, with Ivri Anochi and with Yonah and the lawyer from New York, etc., etc. And that is borne out in this week's parasha. Because Noach begins the parasha as Ish Sadik, ends the parasha as Ish Adama. In contrast, Moshe Rabbeinu begins life as Ish Mitzri and ends it as Ish Elikim. And the idea is that there's this journey going, if you like, in different directions. The difficulty is that Noach was involved in agriculture. So why describe him as Ish Sadik and then eventually became an Ish Adama? But he was involved in Adama before the Mabul as well. The Teretz is that it's a criticism of him that in his later days, post the Mabul, he was preoccupied. It became the primary focus of his life. And pre the Mabul, he was a tzaddik who happened to be involved in agriculture. A very big difference. And the second idea we said, the beautiful idea from Dan Ehrentrop, that Noach, Doniel, and Eov, Ra'a Gimel Olamos, the Medrash says. They saw three worlds. Noach, pre the Mabul, during the Mabul, post the Mabul. Doniel, by its Rishon, Mechuban, and by its Sheni. And Eov, pre his tragedy, and post his tragedy. But why Olam to describe Eov? The Teretz is that Olam means eternal impact. The same way as the Maharam says, Makshim HaOlam, it means the Bnei Yeshiva because they impact eternally. That's what it means. And lastly, Vayochel Noach and Noach also Atzmo Chulin, says Rashi, because Ha'ilo Lasuk Tchila B'Netziah Acheres, he should have involved himself in a different type of planting. What exactly is wrong with planting a vine? Why did Noach choose to plant the vines? The first answer we saw in the name of Simcha Wasserman, because Zochrei Olayayin, Noach is criticized because he wanted to reminisce and remember the good old days. He was not willing to embrace the future. And that was his criticism. Rabbi Twersky says, no, his error lay in the inability to recognize this new world, this inability to realize that everything was different. And that indeed is a challenge, certainly in Chinuch today, to try and recognize that what was good yesterday and 10 years ago is not necessarily going to work today. Of course, the Masorah, the Torah, is unchanging. But the methodology of transmitting it and conveying it has got to be in recognition of the fact that the generations change. Thank you for listening. Wishing you all a very good Shabbos. Kultiv.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.